Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
This one's done. Biggest comeback. 24 points. They win it 120-115.
Never able to hit like the big shot or two to keep the lead where it was as they were coming back.
Dale Arnold.
Pastrnak going for the hat trick. He scores! And David Pastrnak with the hat trick here in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, yes.
Boston Bruins tie an outdoor game record with 7 and win it 7-3.
Rich Keefe.
Would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No, Mac's not that quarterback.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
This is becoming a habit.
Whatever.
You moron.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We start right out of the gate with Rich calling somebody a moron. I'm not saying it wasn't deserved. I'm just saying, you know, we start right out of the gate with it.
Well, it's a hot start, you know. I'm sure the person did deserve it. I've never said it and taken it back like a, you know, a Baker Mayfield or somebody that's going to apologize really quickly. I'm not going to do that. So,
well, the example was obviously set for you at Cam Newton's 7v7, so it's only contemporarily appropriate behavior, Rich.
I learned it from you, Dad.
I did notice, and we'll talk about this as the morning goes along here, I did notice that the young man has already issued a lengthy apology, which sounds like it was penned by his mom.
Could have been. I have a hard time getting too on the kid because I feel like I may have been that same kid.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt you were that kid.
I feel like I could have been.
And now you're that man.
I am still. I grew into this man. I was once that kid. I am now this man.
Title of your autobiography.
Jesse Orosco was pitching in relief for the Baltimore Orioles back in the day, and I was sitting in the right field stands, and I once got him to give me the middle finger.
Nice.
So that was sort of a highlight of mine.
I was the same with Cole Calhoun of the Angels once.
Cole Calhoun gave you the bird.
Yes, he sure did.
Yeah, and I yelled at Donnie Moore through the TV, and look what happened to him.
Look at this.
But Rich, too soon, Fitzy. Come on, guy. It's only 10:03.
Sorry.
But, you know, on the subject of 1986, you kind of took one for all of us who lost sleep or missed days of school because of the 86 World Series. So I offer you a retro thanks.
Yeah, I was just doing my the crowd was really enjoying my work. They liked the heckling. Everybody was having a good time. I kept it clean.
I'm just going to say, do you remember a censored version approximately of what it was that earned you the finger?
Yeah, he was sitting like, so you know where the bullpen is, but he was sitting in an area where you could see him. So he wasn't like underneath it. He was sitting where you could see him, and he wasn't wearing a hat. And I just kept screaming at him that they're not going to let him play if he doesn't put on his hat. Where's his hat? You got to get your hat. It was just like nonstop about his hat. And then he finally turned around and gave me the finger.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
I'm like, they won't let you play. You can't play in the baseball game without your hat. And then he finally turned around and gave me the finger. It was pretty good.
So he didn't see the humor in the whole thing?
No, he didn't. The whole right field bleachers did. But
was it just that you wouldn't let up?
It was nonstop. It was nonstop is what it was. It was the whole thing. I didn't get into how much money he makes like this kid with Cam Newton. I had no idea at the time. I didn't get into all those details. Just more or less, you know, the rules of baseball and how you have to have the uniform on to get out there.
Sure.
Pretty simple.
So there are simple rules in life. And Rich may have violated one of those rules in life.
Have.
And Jesse Orosco, you know, made it pay. There's rules in broadcast life as well.
Yes.
For instance, in this day and age where, you know, media Zoom sessions are all the rage, some folks have a hard time grasping the whole idea of the mute button. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, Chaim Bloom, holding a Zoom media session for the very first time, had an issue with somebody who didn't understand the whole mute button thing.
mean, this is traditionally...
All right, you were listening to Red Sox Chief of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom, with one of his first media availabilities.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
This is traditionally a time of year when teams take a look at...
I would say, main focus. What is the first big question?
All right, I'm noisy.
It got noisy.
What is happening in there? What is this?
So, you know, it's simple decorum. It's simple rules.
What?
My biggest contribution to it. And you know what? That's for trading Mookie, you son of a blank.
So, Akeem.
This is High Bloom. Yeah, I love him speak. Let's hear from him.
We got this whole four box thing
on
Twitch.
What happened there?
You know, and occasionally I will text and I'll say, Fitzy, remember to mute your audio.
Yeah,
you
can hear you off
or Andy. And apparently we need to do that when he's on his weekend show. He's on Tangway's weekend show.
Mm-hmm. When I'm filling in on Sunday for Gary Tangway, who has finished shooting his part in the Adam McKay movie and is now visiting his daughter at, of all places, Hobart, Rich.
And William Smith.
What a small world.
Small world, right?
Yeah. So Rich went to Hobart and William Smith. My daughter went to Hobart and William Smith. Mm-hmm. And Gary Tangway's daughter is there now.
Mm-hmm.
I have been
a factory of awesome and just absolute sporting intelligence.
But let's not detract from the main point here, which is you got to mute your audio for crying out loud.
Well, let's not bury the lead. I definitely I Zoom bombed Chaim Bloom. And guess what? This is the first I have heard of that, Dale.
Oh.
Here's what happened. So I'm filling
Nobody
in yesterday.
Nobody told you did this?
Wait, you didn't know about that?
No, I did not know about this show.
I believe him. You can tell by his reaction. He didn't know.
No, honestly, I don't know. Why do you think I fell out of my palm tree-filled virtual Zoom background when I just heard that a second ago?
What was the setup? Okay. So you were doing the show, but you were also listening in on that?
So I'm filling in for Tanger, and we do trending at 25 so we can come back at 30 and take Chaim Bloom's presser live from Fort Myers.
Got it.
It's just me and Andy Hart, and we have Eamon Convey producing. So we're on a Zoom, even though we don't necessarily need it because we're not funneling it to Twitch or cutting off clips, but it's good for, obviously, the back and forth. We take Chaim Bloom for about 5-6 minutes, have a couple of indecipherable Johnny Miller questions, and then, you know, we get onto one or two others, and we decide to kill it. Yeah. So Eamon tells me, okay, mic's back on, boys. And it wasn't from me, but I'm not trying to throw someone else under the bus,
but at the same time,
I'll throw someone else under the bus.
Yeah.
Apparently... I thought I was fine. I thought I was just talking with Andy. Little did I realize my audio was going to the station and then funneling into the press conference at the same time.
Interrupting Sean McAdam's fine questioning.
Listen, it was honestly, I'll tell you right now, it was the best part of the press conference. The guy is not exactly an electric highway, so for you to jump in there and kind of spice it up a little bit with part of the radio show, it helped.
Right. Now, Fitzy, I can tell you that I think I know exactly what happened because I did this exact thing on a Patriots press conference
once. I would love to know, Johnny, please.
I believe that the show was being recorded, your show, in a separate studio that the Zoom was on and it was left up on the soundboard, thus being fed into the Red Sox press conference.
Aha! Thus, I am exonerated!
No, you're not. No.
Not really.
You're not. No.
What else
you're
going to
be remembered all season. All the Red Sox beat writers. Oh, yeah, I remember that guy that wouldn't shut up during the Chaim Bloom presser.
Red Sox Chief of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom.
Red Sox.
It would have been amazing if you were just like ripping
Chaim
up. Like, what has this guy done? This guy hasn't done a thing except trade away Mookie.
Imagine if I came back and I was like, hey, Andy, just not for nothing, but what a stiff this guy is, huh?
So, in all honesty,
Andy, you're usually the king of the toilet stories, but let me tell you about this firewood I sawed off last night.
So this morning when John tipped me off that we had this, the first thing I texted back to him was, are we going to get Nick in any trouble here if we play this? You know,
and I hadn't even listened to it yet, and I said, no, we won't.
Yeah, no, it should be fine. Yeah, that would have been amazing if you just...
There are so many things. What if I came back and I was like, Chaim Bloom, more like Chaim Boring. This guy's...
This guy stinks.
It would have been great.
We can hear you. We can hear everything you're saying.
Oh, God. Oh, my life is just full of all of these almost disasters like that.
I'd say main focus. What is the first big question?
Got noisy.
No, it's just one guy doing a radio show who's still
on the Zoom call
to the broadcast.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Eamon, wherever you are, all the beers I've given you for all of your good producing, you owe them back to me and then some now.
Now, but also, actually, if you are in charge, like if you're the Red Sox or whoever the head of PR is that is running the Zoom, can't you individually mute people that aren't muted?
One would suspect you could.
I would think.
I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't know if Kevin Gray is in charge of it or... Well, I don't know.
My theory was that Doug maybe messed up the engineering and just was feeding Chaim Bloom all of Fitzy just to really rile him up a little bit.
You don't want to blame Doug. He'll drive down.
He'll come get me. That's the last thing you want to do.
Well, he'll beat you up, but first there'll be a 21-minute story that'll preface that. And listen, I love Doug. If I want to talk about just like fishing, women, dances from the 50s, oranges or bacon, Doug Lane is your man.
Computer fishing for women.
God, I love that man.
Well, well done. Well, I mean, I thought the biggest story of the weekend for me was the Bruins and the outdoor game, but it ended up being Fitzy hosting the Gary Tangway, Gary Hart show, Andy Hart show.
It got noisy.
When's Gary due back for his, you know, show?
The show that has his name in it that he's yet to appear.
We think he's going to appear for the first time in week three.
Oh. Well, Fitzy's doing a good job keeping the seat warm. Mm-hmm. He's doing these wacky radio stunts by taking on the Red Sox press conferences.
Funny thing is, 5 minutes later, in the middle of the press conference, someone knocked at the door, and Chaim Bloom was like, "Chinese food? I don't remember ordering any Chinese food." Oh, wait a second.
No. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good start. So hot start.
And I will go back to what I thought was the big story of the weekend. From my perspective, it was watching the NHL take their great game outdoors. Saturday didn't work so well. Sunday, it was perfect.
Yeah,
it could not have been better. I'll take it back. The first three quarters of the first period, the game was a rumor because you couldn't see anything, and they couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
David Pastrnak, when he scored the goal on the first shift, he said Marchand told him, "I was passing all the way. I couldn't see the net." You know, he was skating towards the sun at that point. Once the sun went down, then it was like magical out there. It was Mystery Alaska all of a sudden.
Yeah, it looked really cool once you were able to kind of see what was going on and then get some of the images and like the way they moved the cameras around, that was really cool. For outdoor games, I've been for a while a less is more type of guy. Like, I feel like they really tried shoehorning it in, and there were so many outdoor games. Remember there was that whole
stadium series.
There's too much. When they first did it, or when they first started to, like, all right, New Year's Day, and sort of make it a tradition, and I know this year's a little bit different, you can't do that, but that's what I like.
It was so much fun to watch. I mean, look, they scored 7 goals. Of course it was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they embraced it, Patrice Bergeron, captain of the team, says to everybody, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to find the most ridiculous-looking neon outfits we can find, and we're going all retro 90s with this thing. And as John Moore said afterwards, we had to win because if you lose and you're walking out wearing this stuff, you're going to look ridiculous. But good for them. They turned it into a team bonding experience. They looked like they had a blast. Winning makes it easier. I understand that. But it was just fun all the way around. I loved everything about the Sunday version. Saturday was there an
end, Dale, though, of like, you know, sometimes when you're playing football and you want to either kick into the wind, or you want to like make sure you don't have the glare in a particular quarter, depending on where the sun is. If I was that Philadelphia goaltender, who, by the way,
can't play against the Bruins,
who cannot play against the Bruins for love, sex, or money, I don't care if the glare is white and the puck is black, and you should be able to delineate between the two. Like with the sun coming off the ice, I wouldn't have been able to see squat. Like it looked like the Bruins had the advantage early. They should have just, and they did pepper him, and they just loaded up on goals, and they had a 3-4 goal lead before they even started the second period. But it looked, as great as the backdrop was, kind of like a logistical nightmare at times for the goalies when the sunshine was out.
Well, they didn't plan to play at sundown. I mean, the plan was the game was going to be over by then, but because of the issues Saturday afternoon and the sun and the mushy ice and all of that stuff, they pushed the Bruins Flyers face off back so that it would be colder and you know the ice would be better. They accomplished that. It was great. The players all said the ice was spectacular. No problems there. The issue you had, obviously, was, you know, the glare and the sun was horrible for the first period. Then you get to the second period and it was all perfect after that.
And it kind of puts some of the like the stadium ones to shame, right? Because like I never want
to see a stadium again.
No, it kind of wears off. You're like, oh, it's in Fenway Park. Like, all right, it's in Fenway Park. But like this is, I don't know. I it looked really cool. Like, it feels like it would be like an option in a video game. Like, hey, where like where do you want to play the game? Like, oh, I want to play it here. And like, you'd pick that one all the time. Like, that part of it was cool. But you're right, you don't want it to affect the players too much, because then you're like, all right, this game counts. It's a real game.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a goalie's given up multiple goals, he's like, I don't know where the hell the puck is. Like, that's not entirely fair. But if you do a game like this, a game every year, I think it can still be sort of that spectacle, still be an event. You get different teams involved. Find some other locations as well. But don't overdo it, because then it's just like, oh, my God, now you get a million outdoor games, and it's not it loses its appeal.
Well, right. The rumor is they're looking at playing one of these games at Mount Rushmore. And they're looking at playing one on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., both of which would be incredible venues. They would look unbelievable.
Last week, you could have played one in downtown Houston.
I was going
to say. In a parking lot. Wouldn't even have to put ice down.
Yeah.
But I loved everything about it. The fact that they won is more important, but it was fun. We'll play some audio later on of David Pastrnak, who is not only becoming one of the most exciting players in the National Hockey League, he is turning into one of the great personalities in the National Hockey League. And that the league desperately needs it. The Bruins really desperately need that sort of thing, and he's become that.
Yeah, no, he definitely has. And it's just, I think you sort of need the goal scorer, right? Like, it's simplistic, but that's how it's the easiest way to create a star in the NHL is, yes, the personality helps, but a guy that is electric and can score and just score from anywhere and, like, that ability. Because I think, you know, Charlie McAvoy is on his way to being a stud, and he might already be a stud, but there's just something different about a guy who can score 50 goals in a season or 50-plus in a season, and he's still so young. So, yeah, he's going to be a fan favorite for a long time.
Yeah, now, and Dale, I did love those jerseys too. By the way, I think
they
what do they call
me.
It? Reverse retro.
Yeah, reverse retro. I liked.
I wouldn't wear that orange Broad Street Bullies uniform if you paid me $1,000 a day. But the yellow Bruins jersey, when the fans are back in the Garden, even at 20% capacity,
they
can find their way to the pro shops, you are going to see a lot of those on the causeway this spring, summer, and beyond.
The contrast wasn't too bad either. I was a little worried that it was.
Yeah.
When you first said yellow and orange, I'm like, ugh. But it was just fine.
Going to be that color rush night between the Bills and the Jets when colorblind people were like, I just see blue everywhere. This is awful.
So that was the good news of the weekend. The bad news of the weekend, Rich, was yesterday before the Bruins.
Oh, my God. We have a problem here. We have a huge problem with the Boston Celtics. They
and
are
it's
a
the
mess.
Celtics.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
You said that right, Glenn. They are a mess. They're up 24 points to a non-playoff team midway through the third quarter, and they lose. They have been terrible in fourth quarters. Now, some of these games they've still hung on to win, but they've been really bad in fourth quarters. It's become a trend. And Brian Robb, who now writes for Mass Live, he was talking about like the net rating and like where they are. They're at the bottom of the league in the fourth quarter. I think it's 27th in the league offensively, 25th defensively in the fourth quarter. And he cites there's three guys that in the fourth quarter just fall apart and they shoot terribly. Now, Marcus Smart's one of them. He's not there, so that's not a concern. But Peyton Pritchard, who's, I think, overall been good. Fourth quarter, he's really struggled. And then the guy who is absolutely killing him is Kemba Walker. Killing him! He went 1 of 9 in the fourth quarter and overtime. Oh. And for the game, what did he go for in the game? He was 5 of 21, 1 of 12 from 3 for 14 points.
Well, and not only that, but to add to it, Brad said after the game, if the game had gone to double overtime, he couldn't have played him.
Yay.
He wouldn't have been able
to. He might
have
been better off. I think he would have been better. Yeah, so, and Brad is, he's under the microscope now, too, and I think he should be. It's a players' league, and Kemba Walker has just been awful. And I also think that we've been so quick to assume that Tatum and Brown know what it's like to win. Not that they've won a title, not that they've gotten to a finals, but again, there are a lot of star players in the league who either haven't gotten to or out of the first round. And so when you see the Celtics, you're like, oh, well, Tatum and Brown have been to the conference finals. Like, they know what it takes. Yeah, they also blew a 3-2 lead in the conference finals. They also lost to a team I thought they were better than in the Heat last year. And the rest of the roster around them is now worse. Maybe it's not as bad as that first year they were together, but it's worse now. And even though they're putting up the nice numbers, nobody else is stepping up. They're not really helping out anybody. And then defensively, it seems like they don't really care all that much.
They're
and that's
a mess
not a
defensively,
good sign.
Aren't they?
Oh, they're a mess. And well, the thing is, how many times this season have we come on after a game and said, oh, that was the worst quarter they've played. That was the worst half they've played. That might have been the worst game they've played. Like, too many times. They haven't played a great start-to-finish game, I don't think, all season. And last night, or yesterday afternoon, just fell apart. Second half, just an absolute disaster. The ball movement offensively was trash. The defense was worse. And you allow a New Orleans team, which is five games under 500 at the time that you're playing them, come all the way back and beat you. Terrible.
And Rich, the funny thing is, yesterday you get some short but impactful minutes from Time Lord. Tristan yep. Thompson actually puts up the kind of game we thought we'd be getting from him on a regular basis. But the lack of a consistent third scorer, and then the defensive presence, your shutdown guy when you need to lock up their best scorer or whoever is either on the heat check or the streak that Zion went on in the second half, they don't have him right now. And it is killing them. And I remember how many times we discussed the third quarter. It was the third quarter last season and again in the playoffs, especially against the Heat, that was a huge issue. That was the albatross for the
Celtics. They were a good
Celtics.
Fourth quarter team. They were one of the better fourth quarter teams a year ago.
And now they suck in the fourth. They're awful. They stink in the fourth quarter. I'm going to be honest. I saw they had a 24-point lead. I kind of went a little checkout Charlie on the game for a while. Like, all right, I'll go back and I'll watch the rest of the highlights later. I'll get the box score and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Instead, I check and see Celtics. I saw EEI's tweet like, Celtics blow 24-point lead, lose by five. Yikes.
Yikes.
It was the highlights were an absolute horror show. This, Something drastic needs to happen. I'm sorry. I think it's time to start ringing the alarms and the panic bell.
Well, and if I'm looking for the silver lining in this cloud, and you mentioned him already, Time Lord is starting to look like he may be a player.
Time Lord's looking pretty good. Yep, I think the silver lining would be Time Lord, some flashes of Aaron Nesmith, a guy who wasn't playing at all at the beginning of the year, and now he actually had the most minutes off the bench. And I know it was a loss, but still, I think those two guys are playing better. They're on the upswing. And you've already seen a guy like Jeff Teague go from playing poorly to out. You know, like Grant Williams, I don't need to see Grant Williams. I really don't. And I think eventually, like Semi Ojeleye doesn't need to play. Or Kemba Walker needs to figure it out, or he doesn't get as many minutes because he's largely been really bad. Not that Marcus Smart is the big fix, but he is an important piece on the team. Like you can't just completely ignore that.
At least he can play defense.
Because he's the only one who seems to want to at this point. And got some bad news, though, yesterday. As Woj said, they don't expect him back till after the All-Star break. So that's kind of just going longer and longer. That seems to be a worse injury than they initially diagnosed. But even when he returns, like, you know, what are they as a team? Like, right, they're in sixth place right now in the Eastern Conference. And, like, not that far out of last place, like, or as far as the playoff teams are concerned, like it is not pretty right now.
You ask what they are a 500 basketball team. They're almost crazy at the halfway mark. This isn't like sluggish start. Like, if the Celtics want to be in the top half of the Eastern Conference come playoff time and get a decent second round situation, depending on if they can make it out of the first with this spotty defensive play, you might not want to lose more than like 25 games. Well, they're already three-fifths the way there.
Yeah, I just, if you told me that Jaylen Brown was going to be a shoe-in all-star and Tatum was going to be similar to what he was a year ago, you would have been like, all right, yeah, maybe not first place. You know, there's a lot of talent now in the East, but they'd be at least, you know, around third place or so, and they'd be playing a lot better than this. And no, you've had the two all-stars, and not that they're blameless, because they certainly aren't. I mean, you're the best players. You're going to get all the credit. You're going to get the blame. But everybody else has been a real letdown. I think if you're looking at like the lowest stock on the team right now, it'd be Kemba Walker and probably Brad Stevens. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, did we overrate what their talent level was, or are they underperforming, and is Brad Stevens the reason they're underperforming? Because that's how it's being portrayed in a lot of corners. It's Brad's not getting enough out of these guys. He's the issue. Because we always want a single issue. We always want to point to one thing.
Yeah, I don't know if we underrated the talent, you know, because I think a lot of us were upset that they didn't get something at the time for Gordon Hayward. And whether you thought Gordon Hayward was a fit or not, I personally didn't think he was a great fit. He's a really good player. Like, he was the fourth leading scorer on the team last year. Like, you were losing something when he left and you didn't really replace him. And I never really was all that excited about the Jeff Teague, Tristan Thompson signings. Thompson's at least leveled out and he's been somewhat productive. Teague doesn't even play. I think it's really about Kemba. Kemba just a year ago was an all-star. 2 years ago was all NBA. And now he's just getting outplayed seemingly every night by a guy on the other side. So I think he's the biggest kind of swing player in all of this. Because if you have three All-Stars, you're cooking. But if you, I mean, Kemba's just playing like a average to many nights below average NBA player right now. That's not good enough.
And New Orleans watches Kemba play last night, and they're like, and you guys wanted to trade him to us? Ooh, dodge that bullet.
Yep.
So Fitzy's big take, I think we're going to do on the other side of trending, because we need a little more time. We need to let Fitzy breathe some air into this
unpack
story.
Unpack this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a guy who dominated the airwaves here really since the start of the football season until today was making news all over the place again this weekend. So we'll talk about Cam Newton in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
It's Dale.
Oh, I don't have pants on.
Keith.
Fitzy right there.
You ignorant slut.
Fitzy.
Love me some D.
On WEEI.
Ever since, you know, coming back from Corona, I felt stagnant in my thought process. And it wasn't the plays pre-snap production wasn't happening fast enough for me in games. I mean, did it happen in practice? Yeah, but, you know, still not fast enough. And even still now, I can get better. So each day, each week is an opportunity for me to, you know, really hone in this offense and just do my job. And that's what it really comes boils down to.
Let me just say this. I appreciate the musical stylings of John Anderson coming out with Fog Hat, talking about Cam Newton being in a fog this season. Good for you, John. Well played. So that was back on November 20th when Cam Newton said that, you know, coming out of the COVID fog. And we heard that term back on November 20th, really, at about for the first time, I think. He seems to be coming back to it again. There is a podcast that comes out today called I Am Athlete. And
hear me roar.
Yeah, I Am Athlete. Mm-hmm. Hear me roar. Yeah. He's going to appear on that today, but some of the quotes are being distributed now, and he's talking about, you know, the same sort of thing. He blamed much of what happened with his lack of production on the COVID issue.
Well, I mean, there is so much unknown, and we talked about it last week a little bit, just with how the different leagues are handling it, how players have come back, how they're dealing with it. I think Jason Tatum was the reason we were discussing it last week, because he said his breathing was affected. Now, he's still going out there and putting up 25, 30 a night when he wants, but he says his breathing's affecting him. Everybody has been affected differently. Guys have, you know, not had a single symptom, came right back, nothing. You know, guys in the NBA, nothing. Other guys, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez misses an entire season. So Cam Newton did play better before he got COVID. That's a fact.
Yep.
The first three games, he was better. Now, that game against the Raiders, it was a win. But if you look at it, there were kind of signs that, all right, you know, let's see how this goes. You know what I mean? It was kind of ugly there in the second half. Actually, the whole game was pretty ugly.
First half, he was yeah, off his game, Rich. He threw a bad pick to Jonathan right. Abram. Didn't see him. Definitely the shine was off the lily, or however you say that,
but
like early
worse,
in that game.
He was so bad the week he came back and the week after. And that's really like, oh, my God, what is this team? And even some of his other games get a little bit better. We've heard a lot of excuses for Cam, right? The receivers, or you're not including the rushing touchdowns, or he got signed late, or, you know, he was hurt.
We never make excuses.
And we heard them all. The COVID one's the best one. It's the best one he has.
Well, it's the one that might have the most validity to it.
Sure.
All the other ones,
I know his receivers stink, but still, like, eight touchdowns, like, that's insane. Like, I know the receivers stink. He needs to get better receivers. The COVID thing, because, again, kind of an unknown, and if he said he was kind of in a fog, or as he says there, sort of pre-snap, like, he just, things were too fast, right? They say that about, like, rookies a lot of times. Like, they get in there, and you're like, oh, my God, this game is quick. Like, this is not like it was in college. And if he was thinking like that, now, again, him throwing it at James White's shoes from 8 yards away, is that COVID?
That's not
him?
COVID for me.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I doubt it. Mm. Now, some of his reads, though, that could be.
Could be.
You know, you're in a new offense, so it's not like you can just kind of fall back on, like, your muscle memory of certain plays or certain things that you've done for so many years. That part's a little bit different. But, I'm not saying I want him back, but I am saying that maybe this does explain a little bit how awful he was.
The I Am Athlete podcast is hosted by Brandon Marshall. One of the things that Cam tells Marshall is that he will search for a new team or a team where he can compete for a starting gig. He says he has no plans to retire. One of the quotes that, and the podcast hasn't come out yet, so we only have quotes. Quote, I can't go out like that. I hear all of that talk. My pride won't allow me to do it. There aren't 32 guys better than me, unquote. He's right. There might be 40.
Hmm.
31. I don't know.
There's really not a lot of great quarterbacks.
No,
he had a horrible season, but there's not like a ton of guys. Because as soon as you go to, because we would always do this exercise when Kaepernick's name came up the last 4 years, you would go and pull up the depth charts and you'd look at backup quarterbacks, and it falls off a cliff quick. Yep. Like, there's a lot of teams that have the Brian Hoyer equivalent as their backup. And so, but I like, I mean, no surprise Cam saying all the right things. Like, he should have confidence in himself.
He should absolutely talk like that.
But also, he's not like, well, I'm a starter, so I'm gonna start. He's like, I will go to a place where I can compete. Like, he at least knows that this season was bad, and he doesn't want to go out after his worst year in the NFL. He doesn't want to do that. So I respect him for that. I really hope it's not here.
You need to hear that from anyone who wants to compete and be a starting quarterback, regardless of what kind of season they're coming off of, regardless of what their statistical history or accomplishments are, of which he has many to boot. We heard time and again from people, whether they were fans of Carolina, whether they were draft guys, NFL talent evaluators, and broadcasters, they all said that Cam's ability to read defenses and process things at the highest level, especially in the modern game, may be his worst asset, or may be something that detracts from his ability, because so much of what he was able to accomplish was just God-given physical ability. Just like, I don't see a play here, quick, so I'm just going to run it. I'm also 6'5", 250. Mm-hmm. I'm bigger and faster than everyone else in the field. He's great at chucking the ball deep downfield, but no one ever talked, except for that first half of the 2018 season, which we hit on time and time again. No one talked about Cam making the right read, Cam getting the ball out quick, Cam being a Tom Brady-like, accurate, surgically precise passer. So he did that for only half a season, then he got his shoulder blown up. And he also had Christian McCaffrey at the time. So you add a COVID fog to learning a new offense in a truncated offseason, and while Cam Newton is probably putting out some spin so he will get a couple of camp invites and maybe can consider a few offers, Dale, I'm buying the fact that he just wasn't the same guy after that, and whatever that calculus was that was the Patriots playbook to him became that much more difficult to decipher because his numbers drop off by like 35% rushing and passing.
So if you believe that, and I sincerely believe that's how you look at it, do you believe that a full off season, which is not going to be the real off season, it's still going to be a lot of virtual stuff and all of that, is going to solve this?
A more complete off season for Cam Newton? If you're telling me that the Patriots still don't feel like investing $20+ million at quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo is going to cost too much for them to try and acquire, I believe the Patriots with a full off season would give Jarrett Stidham, Cam Newton, and blank. Now, whether that blank is Marcus Mariota, whether that blank is a draft pick, would give them all an open competition.
It's a blank, all right.
It's a big old blank.
You're talking yourself into bringing him back here.
This thing is blank.
I have thought,
and I am not talking myself into it at all.
I have. Rich has talked himself into it to a degree. I won't put words in his mouth.
Two different things.
He believes it.
Two very different things. Since day one, I think he will be back.
Yes.
I don't want him back. Very different things. I think Bill brings him back. I would not be shocked at all if they bring back Cam Newton on a one-year deal. I will be mad, but I am expecting it. Like, when Mike Giardi said 35 to 40%, Dale's right. You can also spin it and say 60 to 65% no, but what individual quarterback has a higher percentage chance of being back or starting? I don't think so. I think you start to do, well, 20% Garoppolo, 20% this guy, 10% this guy, 5%. Like, I think Cam Newton will be back, but I don't want him. The COVID excuse, to me, is maybe the most realistic of all the things that we have heard. I'll buy it that didn't help his cause by any means. He was so bad when he came back, and he would have sort of, you know, okay games and then kind of back down to being poor. So maybe there's a chance for him to be a little bit better next year, hopefully, though, with someone else.
If we were betting on this like it were a trifecta or like a parlay, Dale, I would put my money on like a trifecta box that was Newton, Stidham, and then the other, who it could just be. I would say Jimmy wins.
Jimmy
Cam's out if it's Jimmy.
It's, oh no! It, oh, I'm sorry. You meant like that's who you want on the team. I was just saying those are my guesses. Like those would be one of those three guys will start week one.
He's looking for a Hoyer replacement as the and.
Yes, and the and
Newton,
is it?
Stidham and blank.
Yes, and that blank to me is probably going to be a draft pick. I don't think that if it's Mariota, I think he comes in with the edge to win the job. I think it goes Mariota, Stidham, and a draft pick. If they decide that they want to spend a fifth round pick and spend $10.5 million or more on Marcus Mariota. My guy's Gardner Minshew. I think it's going to be Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, and a draft pick. And that's the trifecta that they will go with this season. And people will call this station and take to social media as if their feet and their face are on fire.
They will be so mad. So mad. And listen, I think, especially if you open it up to fans next year and there's a classic, you know, Cam Newton three and out, you know, run, incomplete pass. People are going to lose their minds.
Well, and Rich, to that point, too, we haven't discussed it a whole ton this, you know, so far, like with his viral response over the weekend. But like, you know, imagine if, you know, and we'll hit on it more, too. But just imagine if he gets into a clapback sesh with a 15-year-old kid at his 7-versus-7 clinic over the weekend. How do you think Cam would have felt if he heard the verbal slings and arrows of an angry nation that saw him go three and out again and get mollywopped by the 49ers while Tom Brady's in Tampa?
Smoking everybody. It was the best and worst thing that happened to Cam Newton, I think, too, was the no fans. Because I think early on, he would have felt the love. People loved Cam Newton early on. And they were like, all right, you know, Brady left. This is the guy. You know, 2-1, had a chance to beat Seattle. Okay. And people were loving him. And he's a guy, again, going back to his days in Carolina, gives a football to somebody in the crowd after he scores a touchdown, all that stuff. Like, he definitely, and he talked about it during the year about feeding off the crowd and all that stuff, because he's a guy who brings energy. That's all everybody said about him the first month of the season.
Great energy.
But as the season went on, he really benefited from not having people there. If they're going to boot Tom Brady 2 years ago, what would they have done to this guy last year?
Cam Newton sucked.
That would have been a lot of that, Keyshawn. A lot of that.
Well, you mentioned the 15-year-old kid. We'll bring you that story coming up next, and we'll get right to your calls on the other side. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
I don't give a shit. Oh, excuse me. Dump that.
This is becoming a habit on WEEI.
You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent. You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
He's a free agent.
Where's your daddy at? Let me talk to your dad. Let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Talk to your dad.
You're a free agent. You ass.
Talk to him. Let me talk. Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
You ass.
Where's your dad? He's asking me.
So, another good one. John's hot this morning.
Yeah, John had a good weekend, I guess.
John's had a good weekend.
Out firing today.
So, to set the scene, Cam Newton hosts a 7-on-7 football clinic.
Which wasn't Jacoby Myers in it back in the day?
Yes.
Wasn't that
exactly
the story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he hosts this thing. The kids in the clinic are all wearing Cam Newton swag, 7-on-7 football clinic swag. And this 15-year-old kid decided he was going to rag on his host and was going after him. Now, that's the initial video that
he
you
also
know, was
doesn't
going viral.
Understand. I don't think the kid doesn't understand money.
No.
Because just because you're a free agent, A, doesn't mean you're not going to sign anywhere. And B, doesn't mean you have $0 now.
No, it means he's still rich.
He has made so many millions of dollars. Now, listen. There are guys who make millions of dollars that lose it. But as
Antoine.
Far as we know, Cam Newton has not been one of those guys. So the whole premise of the kid is doesn't seem to be all that smart.
So would he go to – I just want to know if this kid would also heckle or clap at Allen Robinson or Kenny Galladay. Like, you
a free
agent. Like, I know, I'm about to get $100 million. Yeah,
yes.
But you're a free agent. Like,
but right now, you don't have any paychecks coming in. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Okay. What about
you? Got me, kid. You got me.
All right, so that was the part that went viral initially. You know, this kid going after Cam Newton. Cam Newton on his Instagram feed, Cam did not post what you just heard. Somebody else did.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
But Cam Newton on his Instagram feed did post a part of the video that you might not have heard yet.
No, ain't no disrespect. You know, if you want some attention, I'm going to give you some attention. The right way, bro. The right way. When do y'all play?
We play tomorrow.
What was y'all record today then?
1-2.
No,
No, two and one.
What did you do? No, I wasn't able to see because y'all was too.
Cameras on me.
All right, bro. What did he do, man? Does he play?
He got speed.
He got speed.
No, he's playing. He's speed.
Oh.
Huh?
You gonna see? Nah, you ain't. Don't act shy, you nah, bro. Don't act shy.
I'm
asking
it right here.
I'm asking. I can see today.
You gonna watch YouTube? Bro, you watch YouTube? I know you do.
You cafeteria crotch, man.
So Cam was trying to interact with him, and he was trying to talk to him, and the kid still didn't want to back off very much. We wouldn't have known this young man's name, except he told everybody. Cam Newton didn't identify him. Whoever posted the first video didn't identify him. He's 15 years old, for crying out loud.
Right.
He's a kid. But he put out a tweet on his Twitter feed, and his name is J. Seth Owens. And J. Seth Owens, I mean, I was only half joking when I said it sounded to me like an apology written by his folks. He posted a lengthy apology on his Twitter feed. And just to give you the gist of it. First and foremost, I want to express my deepest apologies to Cam Newton, my entire organization, and my coaches for my actions at the 7v7 tournament this past weekend. I did not intend for it to get as far as it did. First, I would like to start off by saying my parents never taught me, his wording is clunky, to disrespect people. As a football player, I let my competitive side get the best of me, and it was a huge miscommunication. It was in the midst of the moment, and I realize now how a lot of you took it as disrespect. I never meant to humiliate and let anyone down. I'm very appreciative for 7v7 to even allow me to be a part of the community and allowing me to be a part of the team I am currently on. I realize this can dictate my future as a young man, having very big dreams / goals, but I will not allow this to stop me from getting where I need to be. So again, I apologize and hope I can be forgiven.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Now, if you want to be cynical, sometimes we do, J. Seth Owens, when he posted this apology, tagged at Cameron Newton, good, you should, at Barstool Sports, at Overtime, at ESPN.
Well, yeah, but I think they probably all ran the video, and I bet most of the views came from those three places. That's the only thing I can think of as to why he would post them, just to make sure that, hey, can you guys also post this, maybe? The one thing I saw, though, not everybody. I think most people thought Cam handled it fine, even after the first video. But a lot of people were like, oh, come on, Cam, you're just going to ignore it. Like, really? It's his camp. There's a kid sitting there amongst a group of all these kids. He's being the loudest, and he's screaming at you, and he's supposed to not say anything? I thought Cam handled it fine.
I did, too.
And I think the 15-year-old kid, you know, was being stupid. But again, I'm 36, and I'm stupid. So when I was 15, I was even dumber than that kid was. So I'm not going to rip the kid to pieces. I will say this. I do wonder, like, if he's sort of a borderline, because he's 15, right? So he still has a couple years left of high school. If he's borderline, like, talent-wise, I bet some coaches look at that and be like, all right, you're this guy? Like, forget it. If he's really good, it won't matter. If he's really good, they'll take Tyreek Hill, they'll take Aaron Hernandez, they'll take all these guys. If he's really good, that doesn't matter. But if he's borderline, I wonder if some coaches are like, all right, so the authority figure on the field that day is a current NFL player.
The host of the 7v7
the host of the whole thing
that you're in.
And you're talking to him that way? How are you going to talk to me? You know, if you're, Ryan Day or one of these, like, big-time college coaches, like, you're going to talk to me like that? Like, so we'll see what happens. But, again, he's 15, so I'm not going to go crazy on him. But as far as Cam's concerned, I thought he handled it fine.
I wish Cam never replied to him. I wish he didn't respond to him. I didn't want him. We've all dealt with hecklers on the radio, at events, on stage, wherever. I've dealt with drunkards in the crowd, at tailgates, wherever. If you respond to them, unless you have a killer response, 9 times out of 10, they're only just going to keep saying the same thing over and over again to get a rise. And you are giving them just by showing them the attention, you are basically giving them the energy. I'm not trying to go Tom Brady all four agreements here on this, but, like, just by acknowledging them, you are feeding into that monster. You're giving them exactly what they wanted, which is your engagement, your attention. So this kid, like, I'm going to try to get Cam's attention. That's all he wants. 99 times out of 100, they'll probably back down after you just reply to them, you know, like some obnoxious anonymous online commenter. But
that's so. I think it's very different than that, though. This isn't.
And I think the kid wanted attention, Rich.
If somebody on Twitter with 20 followers is chirping you, and then you retweet them to all of your followers, now that they got what they want.
Exactly. That's why I never. That I don't do that. I don't think you do as well. But I see other people do it, and I can't understand why they do it.
This is his camp.
There's
already a group of kids there. They can all hear this kid screaming at him. Cam's obviously right there, and I don't think Cam embarrassed himself. There could have been he could have screamed at him, like if he challenged him to a fight, like all these things would have been insane.
I would have loved if he kicked his ass.
I mean, I think we all would have loved it, but that would have been
counterproductive.
No, of course it would have.
Cam never raised his voice. Nope. He never raised his voice, and then he tried talking to him, and the kid was a puddle. He was like, hey, so when's your game? We play tomorrow. You can see we were 1-2, 2-1.
I just want to talk to you. I just want some attention.
We'll talk
I'm
going to
give you some attention.
Because Cam even acknowledges, like, you want attention. I'll give you some attention. Let's talk.
Cam,
Cam
handled it better as the conversation progressed, and I'm glad he shared that second post, because in the initial 28-second video, which went super viral right at the end of the radio show yesterday, I thought the fact that Cam initially turned to him and said, I'm rich, like wallet flexing or like statement flexing that you've got money. Like the kid's like, you're a free agent. He's like, yeah, but I'm rich. Like, all right. Yeah. But we also know that you've spent, you got a big family and you spent millions of dollars on clothes you wore once. I didn't like that, but I also,
I didn't mind
it. It's hard for Cam to immediately turn around and say like, hey, watch your mouth. Do you know who you're talking to? Cause you don't want to come across as an elitist or a jerk.
Now, I hate, like, if anybody brings up how much money they have, I normally hate it. But if the initial insult is you're poor, you're going to be a free agent, you don't have any money, well, he's just correcting you. He's like, no, I'm rich. He didn't start the thing by being like, I'm rich. I have more money than you'll ever have. And like, oh, yeah, you think I'm a bum? Let me check my bank account. Like, all that stuff's embarrassing. I hate when people reference their money. I think it's a pretty big sign
of
insecurity.
It's a sad flex. It's a huge sign of insecurity. Exactly. But
he was directly like.
The biggest takeaway for me is, you know, saying like, oh, maybe I was that kid, I would have said that. And some other people like, well, the kid got what he wanted. He got some attention, or like Cam deserves it after the season he had. Like, listen, I don't want to get into who's raising who or what circumstances they come from. This kid is a guest at Cam Newton's camp. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get into the game, if you want to become a professional, if you just want to be a decent person in this life, I know this is an easy soapbox for me to get on. I effing hated that video so much. Like, it's so easy for everyone. This is why I keep saying, like, I'm not doing the Cam slander, or I'm not going to pile on the guy. But for regardless for what effort he put forth this season and what slings and arrows of an angry Patriot Nation he took this year in the departure of Tom Brady during the COVID season, this is a guy who has worked his ass off his entire life. Sure, there may be some dubious claims about his dad and his laptop and transfers, whatever else. But Cam Newton, he's played in a Super Bowl. He is an MVP, and he is an accomplished man who has done so much good for multiple communities. For this kid to try to think that he gets a piece of Cam Newton and can say that, he should be ashamed of himself. Of course someone wrote that letter for him last night, whether they're saving grace or saving a chance for this kid play at junior college. It was embarrassing. And to me, it speaks as to how people think they can talk to athletes, famous people, even their elders. It was embarrassing on so many levels. Parentally, I cringed, and I almost wanted to cry at the end of the video. I'm sorry I retweeted it, and I absolutely hate it.
I do think that in the social media times that we live in, there's a certain feeling out there, especially among young people, but among everyone, that you say whatever you want, you can tweet whatever you want, because they can't see you, they can't find you, you can let a rip, and people do. This kid forgot that you're looking him in the eye. This is something you'd stick on a tweet and try to sick burn Cam Newton, but oh, wait a minute, he's standing right there.
And I think he also saw the backlash by current NFL players. Every single one of them came out saying that this kid is so disrespectful, and like, Cam Newton, you can't talk to him that way, and like, who does this kid think he is? Like, every one of them would retweet the video and be like, this is embarrassing, and like, who's raising this kid? Like, everybody was going nuts. Like, teammates, opponents, current, former players, like, I just saw a ton of them retweeted yesterday. Everybody saw that video. And so this kid, I don't know who he was doing it for, maybe just to get a reaction from his friends that are there or whatever. But when you realize that everybody else whoever your favorite player is, he probably thinks that you are a little brat, basically. And so that's another reason why the apology came pretty quick.
The Greg Hill Show put out one of those quickie Twitter polls this morning. Did Cam Newton
not as
handle
quick as
the
John's
heckling
Twitter polls?
Yeah, I know that's true. Did Cam Newton handle the heckling football camper properly? 71% so far have said yes.
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean,
and
I think
mm-hmm.
it's a tough situation for Cam to be in because I think it's in that situation. I think it's hard to ignore. I think Fitzy's right. Normally, it's not like Cam Newton found some kid on Twitter chirping at him, and then he tries to like one up him there, or even Fitzy with the. It's tough. I would assume in stand up comedy, like as long as you have like a really good burn to sort of put a heckler in place, do that. Otherwise, you're like, all right, you're just kind of ruining the show for everybody. But I don't know you. Like Cam is running this entire camp. Like all the kids know him. Like, the kid is heckling him wearing a Cam Newton T-shirt. Like it's just it was such a weird and environment for him to be so rude.
Yeah, and it's such a baseless claim too. Like he, like if he wanted
well,
to say,
just
like
doesn't know he's a kid, he doesn't get it, and
he's thinking that oh, this will get this will go viral, I guess. Like this
well,
I'm going to get Cam to snap at me. Yeah,
you know, honestly,
it kind of backfired.
I wish Cam just said, "Watch your mouth," or just like not like, "Do you know who you're talking to?" I just wish Rich at some point
just
somebody needs to.
What if he just? What if he pulled his pants down? And spanked
like
his bottom.
A good old tanning of the hide, just like good times, like Jay, you know, like John just like pulling him down and give it the like.
Hey,
Cam pulls out the belt.
Whee!
Well, we don't want to go full, but we don't want to go.
No.
Yeah. But like, it made me so mad because I hate
was,
the way people talk to people. Be they elders or people of legitimate accomplishment in this life. And it just means that we're just further deteriorating socially. And I'm sad for the structure that kid came from. I'm sad that he thought that that was okay. And I'm sad that Cam Newton, who maybe not a great quarterback anymore, had to waste some of his emotional time and equity in a situation like that. Maybe we learn from this. Maybe that's the great takeaway. Maybe a few kids will behave themselves better after this.
Also, honestly, kind of impressive that Cam Newton, after the season that he had, he didn't have to run this camp this year. He could have taken a year off from the camp. You know, I'd be like, I got to focus on other things. Like the fact that he's even still running this camp is pretty impressive.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Justin is in Providence. Hey, Justin.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Hey. How you doing?
Good.
How you doing,
hey, Justin?
Good, thanks. I just want to say this. I don't think Cam Newton's in the wrong at all. I think people are blowing it out of proportion. Second of all, it sounded like they were kidding with each other. Third of all, yeah, if this kid really did mean it, you got to respect your elders. I don't care if this kid doesn't have parents or what. Everybody knows what decency is, and you got to stop that. That's ridiculous. But saying that it was that Cam was in the wrong and it was the kid's fault. Everybody's babying these kids these days. I'm 30 years old. I know how to treat my elders. You know what I mean? Just giving these kids the out, saying like, "Oh, he's the victim," whatever. Like, it's just ridiculous, man. Cam didn't do anything wrong. He didn't start it. It's just ridiculous. I think people are blowing it out of proportion. And second of all, the Celtics, man, we got to do. Danny Ainge has got to get us some help, man. This is getting out of proportion, blowing a 24-point lead to one of the worst teams in the league. This is crazy. Something's got to change, man. And stop waiting until the last moment for a trade. Danny Ainge has got to do something now. That's all I got to say.
All right. Hey, good call. Now, the first part about Cam, I think most people feel the way that you do, the way that we do, that he handled it fine. I think part of it, too, is the guy who we all probably saw the tweet from, who took it from TikTok, his caption was, "Cam got a little triggered." And then, like, eyeball emojis.
Yeah,
I don't think he did, but I think people were reacting. So I think they read that first, and they were sort of waiting for him to be triggered. And then some people may have just, like, assumed that he did or whatever. I think that was a little misleading, too. Like, I think maybe more people thought he was in the wrong just because they read that. That's the first thing that everybody – so that's the one that has the millions of views and everything else.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you guys because Cam Newton apparently is still on the list for the Patriots. We'll give you the latest missive from Jeff Howe of The Athletic. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.